This podcast is recorded on Wiradjuri country. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land, the Wiradjuri people, and pay our respect to elders past and present, and extend our respect to all First Nations peoples listening today. Hello and welcome to the Ag Tech Finder podcast, where we hear from entrepreneurs at the forefront of innovation and the producers who are using their technology on farm. I'm your host, Olivia Carver, and over the coming weeks, we'll be diving into everything from remote sensors to autonomous robots to farm management platforms. Today, we're talking about data sharing and the importance of standardizing data and creating data sharing infrastructures. Data sharing and collaboration is something that's been spoken about a lot already in this podcast, and it seems there's a value in sharing data that hasn't yet been fully captured by the ag industry, but is obviously on everyone's mind. So today we're talking to TerraCypher's Dave Swain about their product Tracker. Tracker is a data sharing infrastructure that allows farmers to control their data flow and enables service providers to generate more value for the red meat industry. Tracker was developed through a food agility project and is still in a trial capacity. We normally feature products that are already on the market and listed on agtechfinder.com. However, in this episode, we've made an exception as we're looking at what's coming next in this space. So we've got Dave on to tell us all about data sharing.
Data is utilized in multiple ways. And so the ability to, first of all, have a standardization process so that it can be shared ubiquitously across different application spaces is really critical. And secondly, that you're getting, you know, more than one bite at that cherry. You're actually able to make that data available to multiple endpoints.
We'll also speak to commercial and seed stock cattle farmer Julian Carroll, who has been trialing the Tracker technology. He'll tell us about how this data infrastructure can improve decision making on farm.
When we're choosing our replacement heifers, we could choose them on live weight alone, on preg test result alone, or on a genomic prediction alone. But ideally, we blend those two bits of data together to make a really informed decision.
But first, of course, we have our podcast regular, Dr. Penny Scholz, joining us. Penny is a South Australian cattle and sheep farmer and an ag tech adoption specialist. Penny, we're going to be talking about data sharing today, and many farmers are collecting data, but how many do you think are sharing this data with the wider industry and consumers, and why would they look to do this?
There's probably much more sharing going on than what people realise or maybe even know about their own data. There are plenty of positives in sharing data, and the first couple that come to mind, particularly around livestock, because that's my background, is traceability and compliance. Data sharing can and already is helping to streamline these processes and make for a more transparent value chain. Product feedback is another one, both for livestock and for other commodities as well. And I think that product feedback is a much more two-way data sharing arrangement that you might have with the next link or links in the chain. And also there's a number of farm assurance schemes as well with processes, particularly in the red meat space and wool space. So I suppose that takes your product, and you could actually have a premium if you can prove you've got premium management, I guess. But, you know, we need data to back that up. But our markets are also becoming much more sensitive to our carbon footprint, our emissions intensity. So data sharing may be required to prove our farm credentials in this space. I'm already seeing some farms doing it, but it's not really a requirement yet. And I guess it could be premiums in this for early movers, but I can also see in the not too distant future, this may just be the right of access to our current markets, let alone the other markets. And there's already a number of tech and software developers working in this space.
What about boosting productivity? Like when we're talking about data sharing, I guess we're often talking about producers sharing data with the next stage of the supply chain or with the consumer at the end. But what about sort of say an abattoir sharing more data with one of their producers to help them get some insights into say their carcass measurements or things like that and help them make decisions back on farm? Is that happening?
Yes, it is happening. It happens all the time. There's feedback that comes back to livestock producers, but it's not highly detailed. So it's not always great for making changes in your business to help meet market specifications better. There is a lot of that going on. But with objective measurement tools slowly coming on board, I think that'll get better. And there are already platforms that can help that information flow. There's that old saying that you can't manage what you don't measure. And generally that's to do with individual farm businesses and how they operate. But I think that's also true for whole industries. And if you have a deep, rich set of data for an industry sector, your industry body, and let's just say Meat Livestock Australia or Dairy Australia, can use that information to help make investment decisions around research and development or extension adoption programs that are tailored to keep that sector on track or make improvements or gains, abate threats to your markets or take advantage of some market opportunities. And so that data provides insights, not just on productivity, but also measurements of things like genetic gain or accurate carbon footprints for a whole sector. Or, you know, I mentioned those market issues as well, which we've had a few of those thrown at us of late too, whether it's biosecurity threats or supply chain issues with a war around Ukraine. The dairy industry has actually done a really good job of this over the last 10 to 15 years, where they've now pulled in lots of de-identified data on herd milk performance reporting, mating and reproductive performance information, DNA, and even farm financials. And there's sort of been, I guess, some trust and integrity going back and forth with farmers and their service providers to make this happen. And yeah, hats off to the dairy industry for being able to do this for their industry.
I think trust is such an optimum word when we're talking about data sharing. Are farmers, do you think, concerned about sharing their data? And where does this concern come from?
I think there's an increasing concern. 5 or 6 years ago, I did some research with livestock producers around ag tech adoption. It was a bit, it wasn't just on data sharing. And I asked them if there were some perceived risks about data. And most said no at that point in time. And those that were concerned, it was around like data ownership and whether their data would be on-sold to another company and not the company that they were currently dealing with. And I think these are still legitimate concerns, but gosh, hasn't that data safety and security thing changed the last couple of years? I don't think there's one person's data that hasn't been hacked in the last 10 years. I think I've been where you think your data was the safest, it probably surprised us all. So I think if I did that interview work today, I'd have a very different response. And everyone should be concerned about their data and who owns it and how it's stored and how long it's stored for. And data sharing certainly has its benefits, and I think it's sometimes necessary. But all farmers should do their homework just like they would for any other purpose. And again, it comes down to that value proposition of sharing your data and what you get in return for it. And so if data sharing is done safely and has a great purpose and offers your business an edge or a benefit or it makes your life easier, then it's well worth considering.
Yeah, I guess it is just that, doing your homework. I mean, it's in all aspects of life, isn't it? Trying to work out where exactly your data will end up is becoming more and more important. But thank you so much for joining us again today, Penny.
You're welcome, Olivia.
You're listening to the AgTech Finder podcast, helping you make confident technology decisions. Go to agtechfinder.com to search, sort, and compare the latest in agricultural technology and find the right solution for your business.
We're now talking to TerraCypher founder Dave Swain about their product Tracker, which is helping to standardize and share data in the red meat industry. Dave, can you tell us a bit about how you came up with the idea for Tracker?
The genesis of it, the origins of it, actually came from Food Agility and Integrity Systems. They had a challenge call out, which was they wanted to develop real-time cattle data monitoring. We sort of looked at that idea and thought about it a little bit, and we thought it was a little less about real time, and it was more about when things happened. It was really important to capture those, what we would call events. And that actually sitting behind that was then the ability for you to leverage those and share that data. And so we realized that it was about recording the events, but having some sort of data sharing infrastructure that could could cope with that from wherever it happened. And I guess off the back of that, we developed that on a little bit further. We got some funding and were able to develop Tracker in that project. So that was really great. But it also allowed us that sort of time to really deep dive into what a data sharing infrastructure needed to do, how it could come together, and where there were opportunities for some innovation in that space.
We've heard a lot about the importance of data sharing in this podcast so far, and a lot of people are trying to do it. But can you explain how something like Tracker can actually help the farmers on the ground?
Yeah, and it's funny, really, because we sort of think about data sharing and it's about the sort of the movement of that data. And clearly that is an important part of that and that connection. But we've sort of seen that happening, you know, other sort of technology platforms already. So we really felt that the innovation around data sharing came in a couple of sort of key sort of places. The first was around defining data standards. If you're sharing data and you're trying to make it widely available, people need to know what the structure of that data is and how to interpret it when it gets to the other end. So that was a key part of it. The second part was, I guess, around providing clear signals about who owns the data and then giving them clear control. And in this case, obviously, producers being able to take control of where that data ended up going, turning it on or turning it off and sharing it with whoever they chose to. I think probably the last part, and this is perhaps for TerraCypher, where we like to see a really important contribution that we can make. You know, anybody that's managing a data exchange needs to be an honest broker, needs to really represent the owners of that data. And if you do that, it's, you know, it's really hard to do that if you've actually got a vested interest in the data itself. And so with Tracker, one of the foundational elements is we actually don't hold on to that data. We don't take any ownership. And by doing that, it means that the value that we drive is about making those connections work seamlessly and driving the value for all the producers. And so those three elements we think are where there is value for the industry.
So why would a cattle farmer want to share their data and who would they be looking to share it with?
Look, you know, data is integral now to any business operations, whether it's movement of cattle, whether it's selling cattle, whether it's health records, whether it's genetic improvements. There's, you know, a wealth of places. But often that piece of data that's collected has multiple, you know, value points. You weigh an animal. Now that might be as they're leaving the property. It might be, you know, just as a routine management factor. Now, that could go into a genetic improvement program, but it could also feed through to day-to-day management in some software, or it could go through to a potential buyer that's looking for market access. So data is utilized in multiple ways. And so the ability to, first of all, have a standardization process so that it can be shared ubiquitously across different application spaces is really critical. And secondly, that you're getting, you know, more than one bite at that cherry. You're actually able to make that data available to multiple endpoints. And every time you use that, you're getting more value. So I think at the sort of operational end of things, that's where the value is. I think the other part to it is increasingly we're now seeing where we're seeing aggregated data and historical data build up, that has value in terms of the insight that it can drive. So the whole process of standardizing that data, whether it sits within our ecosystem or it moves elsewhere down the road, it's going to be much more easy for that to be brought together and drive sort of algorithmic insight, if you like.
What's an example of how data is currently not standardized and what do you do to the data to standardize it?
What we do is we provide a structure. So it's what's called a schema. The schema defines the structure of the data that you're passing through. Now, that could be like the identification of the animal. And in this instance, it would be the NLIS RFID number, for example. It could be the weight of an animal, for example, in which case it would be like it's in kilograms and it's a number. So you have a definition of what the data is associated with that event. And an event, an information event, is anything that we observe that you can discreetly assign to a category. So that could be weighing an animal, it could be sickness, it could be a paddock movement. So all of these are events and you define the standards. Now, obviously, In a lot of instances, those standards are pretty similar in terms of the structure of them. So we have within the tracker, we have what we call the W5. So it's the who, why, what, where, and when at the highest level. And that allows you, any packet of data that goes through the system, you know who the owner of that item is, what the item is, when it happened, what the event is. And then we have the detailed information about the event itself that sort of cascades down from there. Because what you really want to do is that data that you've got, wherever it starts and wherever it ends, wherever it turns up in the system, everybody understands and can follow that standards. So as part of Tracker, we have a marketplace, and you go onto the website and you click on the particular standard, and it will give you the full detailed description of what that standard is. And what we're encouraging producers to do, if you want, you know, if you're defining that standard, if that's what you're doing, we put that on, you own that as your standard. Or if there's another organization that you want to align to, you can access their standards to get the data standardized. And that's what happens in behind the scenes. And what you really want to do is coalesce, get people to coalesce around a standard. Problem is at the moment is everybody has their own systems. Nobody really wants to give up on what they've got. And I suppose in a way, that's why we're very keen not to hold on to data, because all we want to do is facilitate the maximum value of the movement of the data.
And as you were saying, one of the most important elements is that producer control of the data and the ability to switch it on and off. Is that right? How does that work, and why is that so important?
Yeah, we think that's like really vital, because it puts a really very clear signal that the producer is the owner of the data. And so that's a really critical element that they need to be sort of aware of. And so it is literally a button like a tap. They literally physically turn that on. And I guess the other part to that is we obviously have defined the standards around that data that's going to go through there, and that gets validated as it goes through. So no data that goes through that pipe work, it has to be in that correct format. So that gives them some confidence. And secondly, as they click the button, we would require, you know, the data sharing agreements that sit the other side, whoever's accessing that data at the other end, to be made available. So what we're able to do is, you know, provide a direct link, obviously, to the 100-page data standards, but also we translate that into some simple things. Hey, these are the sorts of things that are in those data standards that you need to be mindful of. This organization is holding onto your data, you know, forever. They have the full rights over whatever that happens to be. And so it tries to create a much more transparent process. And actually, I guess, you know, hopefully down the road, that will provide the opportunity for companies that are holding onto data or accessing that data to use those data standards in a way to encourage producers. So, you know, developing them in a way that is much more favorable for producers themselves.
We've spoken about how Tracker helps farmers, but what about the whole ag industry? And often we're looking at these data sharing ecosystems. Can you tell us a bit about what that actually means? And do you have any examples of that?
Look, at the moment, we're getting a lot of interest and a lot of the work is through project work in sort of research activities. And what we're finding is that it's often those sort of research projects that cut across a number of domains. You know, we're doing some work with Timber Queensland through the Northern Australia CRC. The sort of project is focused on looking at the combined benefits of carbon sequestration, trees and cattle production. And they've got different planting regimes, different stocking densities, so that they can find out what the optimal balance of trees and cattle to maximize both economic returns, carbon returns, landscape management. So it's a multifunctional sort of approach. You know, there's foresters working alongside livestock researchers, there's cattle producers. So there's a disparate array of data, but they all need to get access to it in a way that's standardized. And so they're adopting the system to help manage that data pipeline, get that data standardization, and get some legacy out of that data. And I think what it's doing is it's helping with the communication around the data. It's putting the data right at the heart of the project, which obviously it always is, but it's having that conversation up front right at the beginning. In defining those standards, everybody's aware of what's happening. I think too often data comes at the end of the pipeline, and then we retrospectively say, oh, well, we need this, or what can we do with it? And the more we can think about the data being right at the beginning and really building those data sharing infrastructure to really facilitate the widest value and engaging those conversations around the data, I think the realization of the value of data will start to kick into gear.
Have you experienced any challenges when it comes to the creation or adoption of Tracker? Is that element of trust still important, and has that been a challenge at all?
For us, it's probably some of those more practical considerations. So very early on, you know, it was very much designed for ag tech companies to be able to pass data through, or all that data to come from those sort of sources, if you like. We pretty quickly realized that producers, for example, often have data that they're collecting on the property, and often that's in a spreadsheet. And we hadn't really accommodated that in our system. We've addressed that now and do have an uploader that allows producers to directly pass data through a spreadsheet application. I think probably the biggest challenge is the data ecosystem is quite huge. If you're talking about standardizing all of those data streams, everybody wants everything straight away. And, you know, obviously to build this infrastructure and to get to that point, it's not possible to do that. And so we really feel that industry leadership in that space to try and build out these data standards and make that available through a data sort of standards marketplace so that people have got some clarity, that will really kickstart it. Now, we're obviously working through that slowly, but it takes time and requires resources. We don't have the resources at the moment to really do that to the level that it's needed. But where we're working on projects or with individual producers, we're just adding those on slowly. But I think it would really kickstart the whole infrastructure to get a much more complete set of data standards.
Where is Tracker currently up to? Where are you up to with trials and what's happening next?
Currently, it's being used in a couple of research projects. It obviously, the infrastructure was developed off of the back of the Food Agility and Integrity Systems funding. And we are working with a couple of producers to sort of really sort of road test it and to start to build. For us, the next big hurdle now is to really get that data standards marketplace up and available so that it's very easy for a producer to say, okay, I've got, you know, cattle weight data that I want to put through the system. I can upload it through the spreadsheet uploader. This is the format it needs to be in. This is how it's structured. And they can see what that looks like. Or I've done a vaccination event, or, you know, I've got a paddock movement event. I've got a transfer event. So we've got a complete set of at least the core sort of data types that are sitting in the system. I think that will then really, you know, give producers something to get their teeth stuck into. At the moment, it is a little bit start stop. You can do a little bit, but it's always the bit that you haven't got that they want. So it's that will come. There's no question. But functionally, it's really we're really excited by what we've got available and really keen to get it out.
See innovation in action at the Digital Agri-Food Summit in Wagga Wagga this October. Hear from industry experts as they discuss the future of profitability within the agri-food sector, plus join a guided tour of the Global Digital Farm, one of the leading landscape laboratories for agricultural research in Australia. Visit digitalagrifoodsummit.com.au to learn more and to buy your tickets.
We now have Victorian commercial and seed stock cattle farmer Julian Carroll joining us on the podcast to tell us about how he uses Tracker to share data with multiple players within the industry. Julian, can you start by telling us a bit about your business and what sort of data that you look to collect and who you look to share that with?
Yeah, so we're about 75% commercial, 25% seed stock in our Angus breeding business. The different enterprises have different data requirements and some of them are shared. In the commercial enterprise, I guess live weights are one of the more important pieces of data we work with, and they can be coming in from in-paddock weighing with the OptiWay or in the crush in the yards. We're often sort of marrying data together, so it might be live weight with preg test results and the fetal aging predictions in the preg test results are another piece of data we use quite a lot for organising which females we might sell and how we organise them for calving. And more recently, in the commercial operation, we're also using genomic predictions for both heifers and even steers this year. So that helps us decide which heifers get retained, and it helps us with marketing the steers, hopefully this year, and also which ones to add value to and which ones to quit early.
So genomic prediction, sorry, can you explain that a bit more?
Yeah, so it's a relatively newer opportunity for commercial producers to tap into. I think for about 4 or 5 years, Angus Australia has offered genomic predictions for commercial heifers. So we just take a little tissue sample with a little hole punch from the ear, and we get insight into a whole bunch of traits for those heifers that would otherwise be unavailable, expensive to collect. So that means we can make much more informed decisions about driving genetic progress and actually choosing the best heifers based on their genetic merit rather than all of the environmental noise we get around previous methods like just selecting on live weight.
It's really interesting. So you're sharing with data with a few different people, businesses, corporations. What does that data sharing look like for you at the moment?
So yeah, there's data flowing both ways. Obviously, we've got lots of data coming into us with, you know, the genomics, with feedlot feedback, with kill sheets, soil tests. And the data flowing out is kind of more to do with marketing. So, you know, liaising with our customers about when we might have a load of steers ready to go, projects that we're involved in. So sharing data from projects that we're doing as with other breeders, other producers, other organizations.
Benchmarking sort of projects or what sort of projects?
Yeah. So benchmarking, that's another big piece of data sharing we do. So we benchmark the business with the Victorian Livestock Farm Monitor Project, which we get a lot of value out of. That also gives us a carbon account. Yeah, it's sharing with the feedlot, sharing with the other participants in this genomics trial we're running. And when the opportunity pops up to share data with researchers, we're always keen to do that.
Why is that important to be able to share that data in a standardized way? And what are some of the challenges you're facing at the moment?
You know, I've mentioned numerous sets of data that we're working with in a farming enterprise, and they're all different. They're all different formats. They live in different ecosystems. So it can be a challenge to marry data together. For example, when we're choosing our replacement heifers, we could choose them on live weight alone, on preg test result alone, or on a genomic prediction alone. But ideally, we blend those two bits of data together to make a really informed decision. So we can select the heifers with the best genetic merit that are at a critical target weight and have got in calf early. That's the goal, I guess. And me, with a bit of a tech background, is happy to build the systems that can do that. But that's not really the case for most producers, and they need a system that data can happily merge together and be transformed from just data to actually information.
So in an ideal world, do you think you could see a scenario where with sort of one click of the button, your data is standardized and sent to all those different players that you're currently sending data to? Would something like that work, or just making it more streamlined? What would an ideal scenario look like?
I guess there is no one ideal scenario. There's lots of different use cases. We're seeing applications like Black Box now on the market, where our feedlot data now comes through Black Box. Black Box is an interface that producers could potentially use to combine on-farm data with feedlot data. For others, that it might be one of the grazing apps or platforms that are out there. Or in the seed stock world, it could be something that manages our performance recording and combines kill data and that sort of thing. And then again, as the example I mentioned, it could just be liaising with an advisor in an efficient manner. So, you know, they don't really want to have to spend a lot of time compiling data. If it's all standardized, then everyone gets to work more efficiently and with less error. So that'll be there's multiple goals there, and getting the data to play nicely together just oils all those cogs.
You obviously feel that data sharing is important, and coming from that seed stock background where a lot of data collection is quite common. But do you think across the ag industry, people are understanding the importance of data sharing?
I think it's become more and more important. I think there's a bit of a changing of the generation, I guess, of the average young farmer these days. Very focused on data because there's so many sensors that we can use to make more informed decisions, evidence-based decisions. I think it's not something that is been there naturally for a lot of producers, but the next generation of farmers is going to lean more heavily on data to make informed decisions.
Can you give me an example of how Tracker could work
for you when it's past that trial research stage? How do you envision using it?
For me, I could use it to submit performance data into the genetic evaluations like Angus Australia Run, TASE. I would use it to submit soil test results to our agronomist so that they can keep an eye on how we're tracking with our soil and pasture fertility. I might use it to give our feedlot partners more visibility on how our steers are growing and when they might be ready for turnoff. There are a couple of things that come to mind.
And the advantage of having that middleman is that they clean up, standardize the data and get it to the right places. You just input what you've got on farm and they do the rest.
Yeah,
is that
right.
The idea?
Yeah. Yeah. And it might help them make sense of our data in the context of all of their other suppliers' data, for example. So it's not just that one-to-one. I've got to think about, oh, mate, here, how his data comes to me and what it means. I can actually look at it in a standard way where all of the suppliers are aligned.
Some people I've spoken to on this podcast have said that sort of farmers have moved past that stage where they're nervous about like where their data is going and if it's going into the cloud. There's a better understanding of that these days. But how important is that trust and that producer control for you?
I'm not overly sensitive about, I mean, it's not like I'm giving them a link into our bank records. It's kind of some fairly disposable data. You know, it's a point in time live weight on an animal. It's a phosphorus level in a paddock. Does it really matter? I guess we've all been giving away our data to social media for more than a decade now, and you get something back for giving away your data. So I think we're all pragmatic about what we're sharing, what we're giving up, how sensitive it is. Data security is certainly important. You don't really want to be providing links into your own, you know, IT network. You really want to have that control that, you know, the data that goes out on your terms. Standardizing that and putting the producer in control is clearly a good thing.
Well, that's all for episode 6 of the podcast. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget you can search and compare hundreds of AgTech solutions at agtechfinder.com to find the right product for your business. Also, if you're an AgTech company listening into the podcast, did you know it's free to list yourself on AgTech Finder? It's free for companies and farmers to use, but your product must be available in Australia. For more, head to agtechfinder.com and click register a product. If you love the podcast, don't forget to leave us a 5-star review and tell your friends, your neighbours and your colleagues. And we'll see you next week.